This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
What up, Whiskey Ginger fans? If you want to come see the Red Rocket live, you only got a couple more opportunities before the end of the year. Come see me November 8th and 9th in Nashville. The 10th, I'll be in Huntsville, Alabama. 15 and 16, I'll be in San Francisco, baby. Then 21, 22, 23, I'll be in Indianapolis. The 6th and the 7th, I'll be in Brea, California. And then January, I've got Edmonton, 9, 10, 11, 16, 17, 18, Denver coming at you hot. And then that's kind of it until we release the Red Rocket tour dates of 2020, which I'm very excited about, man. We got a ton of dates coming at you. I also want to thank you so much for listening. I do really appreciate it. I want you to like and subscribe and send this out to all your friends. Keep the Whiskey Ginger crew growing. Also, we're in the talks right now of maybe doing a Patreon for some side Cheeto chats where I do one-on-one stuff with fans. Comment, let me know if that's something that you're interested in. If not, we won't do it. And if so, we shall. But for now, enjoy the episode. Whiskey Ginger fans, do you get yourself a good night's sleep every single night? I think that's kind of impossible. I know I don't. It's really tough, man. I have weird hours, and because of that, my sleep is so all over the place that I need something comfy to come home to. And for a long time, I would sweat in the middle of the night. I'd wake up to go to the bathroom. You know, I tossed and I turned, and Buffy let me use one of their comforters, and they were like, go ahead, try it. Tell us if you like it. If not, you don't have to work with us. And I'm telling you, I'm dead serious. It's on my bed right now, and I've totally changed my entire way of sleeping. I don't sweat anymore. It's eucalyptus fiber. It feels softer than cotton. It's earth friendly. It's sourced from renewable forests. It is so incredible. I'm telling you, it's worth it. You can try it out in your own home for free. You don't have to commit to buying. If you don't love it, just return it at no cost. It's a no-brainer at this point why you don't try things like this. If they're giving you a shot to go ahead and try it out and then give it back if you don't like it, you really should. Free trial, free shipping, free returns every single day. And over 17,000 people have given it 5-star reviews online. You can see for yourself what everyone is saying. And I strongly am pushing it. I'm your pusher for the Buffy comforter because it really does help me get a good night's sleep. And I don't feel overwhelmed with comforters in the middle of the night. So go to buffy.co, buffy.co. And type in the code whiskey. You know that whiskey, WHISKEY. Take $20 off. Take $20 off with the code whiskey at buffy.co. I promise you, you will not be let down. It is the most comfortable sleep the Ginge has ever had.
In here, we pour whiskey, 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 whiskey.
You are that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy and ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey and $75 for the horse.
Gingers, oh hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.
Welcome back to Whiskey Ginger. My guest today is one of my favorite people on earth. I say that for all my guests, but I mean it once again. Today is Mr. Brad Williams. Cheers, Brad.
Hey, cheers.
Clink.
You have to have a whiskey when you're on the Whiskey Ginger
Dude,
podcast.
Dude, I agree. So many people don't want to have them, but we like to have one. I'm having some Eagle Rare, which is in my beautiful decanter there. Brad is having himself some Long Branch,
yes.
Which is quite delicious. You said before you're not a rye guy.
Not a rye guy. I like the Angel's Envy rye. Tastes like heaven to me.
Oh, yeah, it's good.
Every other rye just feels like a kick in the balls, which if you want to have a kick in the balls...
Some people like kicking the balls.
Some guys are into that.
You know Steve-O, right? I think that's his thing, right?
I'm finding out, how deep have you dove into Pornhub?
I'll make it
make sense.
Wait a minute. As in, like, have I not just looked at pornography and I've looked at other things on Pornhub?
Yeah, like have you really looked into the weird porn that's on there?
I don't know, man. I don't know what you mean by weird porn. I've looked at There was a comedian, I wish I remember who it was. Somebody put their comedy special on there, and I thought that was one of the funniest things ever. You have to search it. I don't know who it was, but somebody put a comedy special on there, and now I'm trying to rack my brain.
That's so amazing.
But it made me laugh so hard. I was like, that's such a clever idea.
That's so great.
But tell me, what depth did I need to dive to find out what you're going to
divulge? Well, because like when we talk about some people like a kick in the balls, like you can go on to Pornhub and find videos of dudes just getting like kicked in the balls. You can find.
Do they get a? Are they hard for this?
The one that I saw was not. He was soft, getting kicked in the balls.
I never understood that because I've seen those videos before.
Yeah,
people are getting murdered.
Yeah,
like you watch these women are kicking like pro football player.
I've been kicker. In a radio. I've been doing morning radio where they were interviewing a porn star and a guy came in.
Mm-mm.
Got naked on air, and the girl kicked him as hard as she could with heels on.
Nope, pass.
Right in the balls, and it made him excited.
Nope, gross. That's disgusting. What damage happened as a child? Did your father just pull on your nuts when you were a kid?
And now you mutilating my balls makes me remember that daddy somehow loved me in a weird, fucked up way.
Daddy did not love you, by the way. If daddy did that to you, he didn't love you.
Well, and my thing with the strange porn category is like, hey, I'm not like you do you. If it doesn't hurt anybody, I don't care.
Sure, whatever.
But at the same time, my question is always, how did you get into that? How did you find out that you like that?
Right. How did it start? Well, how about this? How do you get into strange categories? You fall down weird rabbit holes when you're looking at Pornhub sometimes. Like, you know, I never thought I liked anime or animated stuff.
Yeah.
I just never cared.
Right.
And then I watched a few of them on like a whim, you know?
Yeah.
Dude, they get you on the whims when it's like, you know what I mean? They get one animated thing and you're like, is that Lois Griffin? And maybe.
Maybe. Like, what's it like if Brian fucks Lois?
Yeah,
like,
I'm gonna find
is
out.
That a thing?
I'm gonna
okay,
find out.
Let's see. So and then why am I masturbating to this?
I clicked
right
and
now?
I love it. I clicked and I loved it. There's a compilation I saw of a thing called Overwatch. Do you know what Overwatch is?
That's a video game.
Yeah, it's a game.
Yeah.
They do like, I think there's a ton, what I've seen on there is a ton of porn from Overwatch. Now I'm not into like that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The anime thing was like the Japanese thing was there's something about it that was sexy, but it's not my thing. My problem is I get lost in the idea of comedy. Like I start to think comedically.
Yeah, because we can't shut this off.
It's impossible.
So when the ad pops up, like it's about to be Halloween. So when like an ad pops up and it's like a werewolf like fucking a chick, you're like, we see the comedy of that.
I can't not laugh.
Not the
some guy is like, whoa, that's it.
Some guy watches that and goes, finally, they're speaking to me.
They know what I like.
Yeah, and that's why there's a few things in my life I don't try because I'm scared I'll like it.
Ooh, what like what? What are you talking about?
Like pegging. Like you know,
you're
like,
afraid that you might be totally into it.
Yeah,
but wait, what's wrong with that then?
I don't know. Like
yeah, nothing.
Because what if my wife hates doing that?
Right. Well, then you would just get somebody else to peg you.
Yeah.
You would just
not
find
cheating then.
Yeah. No.
You won't do it, honey.
If you're not going to peg me, babe, I'm going to find someone that will.
Like yeah, there's a few things like that I go, I don't think I should even try this because. If I like it, well, then now that's my thing.
Yeah, like, then I really like it.
You know what I mean? Like
have you never smoked cigarettes, did you?
No, never.
Never tried one once, right?
Never tried one once.
Yeah, I think you might like it.
Yeah, yes.
That's a thing you probably would like.
My dad just took up smoking at age 75.
Dude, love your father.
He took up smoking.
Your father is such a G. Dude, everything I've seen of your father, this guy is like a cool, old, smooth cat.
Yep.
And then he picks up cigarettes now because he figures, I'm on my last dance.
Why the fuck not?
Look, if it's the last dance, are you not going to do the robot, dog?
The man,
go out like a boss.
The man beat cancer.
Yeah.
He can do whatever he wants now.
What kind did he have?
He had skin cancer.
That's nuts.
Yeah. And it got
bad?
It got bad. Yeah. And like sometimes, because you find out with a lot of cancers that sometimes it's like, oh, I go, I drink this thing or I do one treatment or they burn it off or they take it off and
dig it out. I've seen that. That's wild as
shit. Yeah, he's had that done a few times. But then it came to him very aggressively and it was like, no, we can't just dig this out. So he had to like go do
get
the whole
chemo.
Oh
my God.
Radiation. And so here's this story. So he was going through the first round of chemo, and it was really, really hard on him. Right. I mean, as chemo
as
is,
you would imagine.
It's fucking poison that you're putting into your body to kill cancer.
Wow.
So he's doing it, and he's going in for a test, and we know that the results of this test, we find out, does he have to do more chemo, or it, which is almost like not a death sentence, but like we're just chucking Hail Marys at this point.
Right. The more chemo you go through, inevitably the more pain you're going to be in. The more
exactly
it exacerbates things. Yeah.
So
fixes too. But
so I'm not in town. I'm at the Denver Comedy Works, the South Club. So you know they have that
the suburb one.
Yeah. So you know they have that green room back there.
I've never been to the South Club.
Oh, okay.
Only been downtown.
So I'm back in the green room, and I've been watching my phone all day
because
I know that this is the time. This is the time. This
in
is
between
the time.
Masturbating in the hotel, you are watching your phone
to hentai porn. and then all of a sudden, this is the first show on a Friday. The phone rings while I'm backstage in the green room, and I see Mom is on the caller ID, and I'm like, well, this is the call. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm like kind of gear myself up and I answer it. And my mom just says, doesn't say hi, doesn't say anything, just goes, he's in remission.
Good.
And I fall on the ground. I'm openly weeping.
Yeah.
Just crying my eyes out. And you hear, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Brad Williams. And I'm like, ah! Like I'm trying to like drastically like wipe off my eyes. There are other comics back there that just saw me get a phone call
about your
and
father.
Fall to the ground crying.
Oh.
They don't know what's happening. They think I just got the worst news in the world. And it's
They're
just
like Brad got AIDS. I told you it was a matter of time.
We
dude.
Knew it.
It's a matter of time.
Yeah. Someone will win some pool if I get AIDS. Someone will be like, yeah, like the fucking Doug Stanhope death pool.
Yeah. There's a Brad Williams AIDS
there's
pool.
There's a Brad Williams AIDS pool.
And if there's not, guys, can we start one, please? Because really, it's about time.
And if not, I'm just going to pitch that sitcom, Brad Williams AIDS pool.
This year, this month on CBS. Will he or won't he get AIDS?
From Chuck Lorre.
So you have to get on stage. Do you address it on stage?
Yeah, because it's obvious.
Oh yeah.
Like my eyes are just like welted up.
Oof.
And I kind of improvised that set, and I talked about it, and I hadn't been talking about my dad fighting cancer.
You had never mentioned it on stage?
No.
Wow.
It was too close. I was going through it.
I get that. Yeah.
So then that set, I got the recording of it, and that set eventually became my second Showtime special called Daddy Issues.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
where I talk about it near the end. Like, stuff I did that night ended up going in this – I mean, obviously refined after a few months, but that became the special.
Wow, dude.
Yeah.
That's fucking wild.
It was nuts. And then I had to, like, look at the other comics and be like, no, Dad – it's in remission from cancer. Like,
right.
It's fine. Like, yeah, they just think that I just got the worst phone call ever.
Plus, because people don't know the terminology, right? Like, benign. Like, you don't know what malignant, benign. You don't know what these things mean.
Right.
And they all sound bad, by the way.
Someone did a joke of, like, I don't even know if it was you. Someone did a joke where, like, they need to fix the language of STD results because it's like, you call, you're like, the results are positive. You're like, oh, positive.
Like,
great. No, that means you have it.
Positive means you got it.
Yeah.
The positive result will be if you were negative. They're like, no, I don't want to be negative. No.
Yeah.
That's not me, but that's a good joke. I see that. I see it. I see that.
Yeah.
I see that joke.
Someone did a joke about that. And that's very true about a lot of these things. So now my dad, you know, he's beaten cancer once. He's like, fuck it. He started smoking.
Good for him.
And my mom's like trying to stop him. Like, Mom,
let him fly.
Let him
fly free.
Do whatever he wants to do.
He's 74?
He literally turns 75 on Wednesday.
You earned it, dude.
Yeah.
You earned it, dude.
Do your thing, man. You got two grandkids.
Dude, I've always said that. I've always said it like this. I think we all do life backwards.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? I think we like work super hard and then you retire and then you're bored and sad.
Yeah.
That happens a lot to people.
Yeah.
I feel like we should you just party as hard as you can. This is what I think the future should be. Party as hard as you can until you're 60 and then you start working. I bet you'd live longer. For real. I bet you'd live
to
100.
Right, because now you have purpose.
Yeah, because before that you're like, I got all my chaos out of the way, my drinking, my traveling, my party. Like, I feel like you should be given money for the job that you're going to do in your 60s.
Mm.
So think about it like that. Like, you have the job lined up. You have to do it, right?
Yeah.
I guess if you die, you die. done.
Yeah, because right now, I guess the life structure is you work, you work
till you die.
Yeah, you have a childhood, then you start kicking in, hopefully at like high school. Then you work in college, and then you have to work your tail off because you're making no money.
Get a real job where you're making shit.
Yeah,
getting pummeled by society, the lowest rung, the most abused, the most overworked.
And then, like around 45, you're like, ooh, I have some money now.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to do stuff.
Things start to level out. Then you start to travel more. But by that time, you have 15 more years of pain within a job that you can't stand, or 20 for that matter, right?
Yeah.
And then at 65, you retire. Like, I'm feeling this with my parents. That's the thing I see about my old man that's weird to me is, like, he worked like a dog tirelessly for so long for people that the one thing he was always proud of, he's always like, dude, you and your comic buddies, man, it's unbelievable. You guys... No boss. I mean, sometimes we have a boss, but it's like, for the most part, it's like you work for yourself, you do what you have to do, you don't answer on anybody. And that's the beauty, because for years of answering to people, I saw what it did to him. His loyalty was never rewarded, ever. Yeah. And I mean it.
Yeah.
My dad got fired. I think I talked about it before. My father got fired before he could ever get his pension or retirement plan. Yeah, his pension from the company. Yeah.
Pension.
Yeah, they fired him before he could ever get to that point. Yeah,
and they probably did it on purpose too.
Of course they do. To think that corporations give a shit about us is insane.
Yeah.
They don't. But my dad was loyal to this company for a long time. A family owned company. Turtle Wax, by the way. I'll mention it. I don't care. Fuck Turtle Wax. If you're going to buy any kind of car wash, please buy Meguiar's, buy Armor All, buy anything else.
Anything but Turtle Wax.
Do not buy Turtle Wax. I will go to the grave saying that, because they did my dad so wrong. My father worked for this company tirelessly, was a good employee. He was a great dude. He was so loyal. So that's the thing, is he was always like, loyalty is lost.
Yeah.
And I saw it be proof through him. So it made me feel better about, even if I had bad years, like when I was out here and I had a couple of bad years, you know, when you have some bad, shitty, slow, you're not making right, you know, you're not making good money, you're struggling. I was like, this is better than any good year working for some schmuck that doesn't like me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Who can fire you at any point.
Yeah. And you mean nothing to him.
It's so weird. I don't know if it was... Somebody brought this up at the store the other night.
Yeah.
Where like a guy like Louis C.K. does what he does, and now we're like, he's banned from comedy.
Relatively. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
He's in a naughty corner.
Yeah. But then a guy like Jeremy Piven, he gets banned from acting, so then he does comedy.
I was talking about this.
That was you. It was me, you, and Burr.
And Burr, yeah. I was saying
Norman.
Yeah, I was saying like, how crazy that guy gets kicked out of his industry because of something that one of our legends in our industry got kicked out of, and he came into ours because of it and won from it. I don't get it, dude. And here's the thing. This is not me backtracking. I'm not here to bury guys like Jeremy Piven. I don't really give a fuck about him.
Yeah.
But I also think that thing, that idea of that, frustrates me to no end. Oh, dude, you know what I watched? This is a good parallel. You know who Stand Up Batman is on Twitter?
Yes.
Okay.
I follow Stand Up Batman.
So funny.
I love Stand Up Batman.
If you don't follow Stand Up Batman on Twitter, you should. Very, very funny.
It's someone at the store and no one knows who.
Well, there's a few of us that have an idea.
Okay. Because I have guesses.
Yeah.
And I tried to out the person that I thought it was.
And it wasn't.
It wasn't.
Okay. All right. So, well, how about this? Either way, Stand Up Batman is an anonymous used account from somebody they talk about comedy. And they made a really good point because SNL premiered.
Yeah.
And Woody Harrelson made Shane Gillis jokes. I mean,
yes.
He made jokes about what you can and can't say.
Right.
And then, of course, the cold open was undoubtedly Alec Baldwin doing Trump, because that's what they always fucking do. That's what they've done for the past 2 years straight.
Right.
And Stand Up Batman had a great tweet that was like, good to know that SNL fired dirtbags like Shane Gillis, but leave good people like Alec Baldwin. And then he puts the article where Alec Baldwin called that photographer a cocksucking fag or whatever he said.
Horrible language. Dude, this guy.
Yeah.
There's no rules.
No. It's picky, choosy, whoever they decide to bury, that's who they go after and they bury.
You know,
that's the same as your point. Is like, Jeremy got bucked out of Hollywood because of his behavior, but for some reason, he doesn't get any of that beef in comedy. It just floats by the wayside, right to comedy,
and then it's
ridiculous.
Fine.
So they pick and choose. Yeah, right. Alec Baldwin, the guy who's had so many public incidents of blowing up on people and being an asshole.
He's not canceled.
He's fine, by the way,
not saying he should be.
No.
Just saying,
my point is the hypocrisy.
If you're gonna make a rule. Make a rule.
Stick to the rule.
Yeah. There was a great story I found out recently. So ESPN College Game Day. You're familiar with it. Most popular college pregame show in the nation.
Of course, yeah. There's college Game Day is great.
There's a guy that holds up a sign, as many people do, behind the reporters. It says something along the lines of, I need beer money. Here's my GoFundMe.
Oh, wow.
So he ends up raising thousands of dollars. People go and they donate money to this guy.
That's awesome.
He donates it all to charity. Gives it all to charity.
Oh, gives it all away?
Gives it all to charity.
Oh, wow.
Some reporter goes, a kid giving a lot of money to charity? I got to investigate this. Looks back into this kid's tweets. Finds some tweets he made when he was 16 that have some slurs in it or
how old is he whatever. At this point? In his 20s?
He's in college, so whatever that is.
20, 21, 20.
Yeah, I need to look into the story a little more.
Sure.
Calls him out and says, hey, stop supporting this kid. He's not a great guy. This is what he did. He's trying to cancel him for – he just donated a fuck ton of money to charity, which he did not have to do.
No, he could have just kept the money.
Could have just kept it and said, thank you.
And they tried to get people to stop donating to the kid that's donating
so
his
then,
money. Stop giving to a guy that's giving.
Yeah. And then the best part is that people saw that and went, oh, and then looked into the reporter's tweets.
Of course. Hey, oh, this is getting good.
Found some homophobic slurs in his tweets
this is
years ago. They're
this
like, well, now
great.
You should be canceled.
This is
and
great.
I'm just sitting back going, yes, it's happening.
Let them all eat each other.
Let it just go around
let
in a circle.
Let everyone eat themselves alive. That's the problem. Let he who is without sin cast the first stone.
Absolutely.
I'm not a biblical person, but if any phrase I've ever been like, wow, that's a legit ass thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You think you're perfect? Okay,
yeah.
Man. Let's check your shit. Let's
right.
go through all your bullshit and yeah. find out how clean you really are.
Yeah.
I was talking to my wife about it today. You know, I was having a moment today. I was just having a tough time with some stuff, and I don't want to get into it, but we were having a really intimate conversation, a one-on-one.
You and I have the same problem. Dicks are just too big.
It's just too big.
Too big.
Where can we put them?
We hurt our wives.
They're crying every
morning.
Pain. The pain.
I don't want to hurt her, but then we have to have a sex life.
Well, what do you want me to do?
I know.
What do you want me to do?
It's crazy. Dick's too big.
And that's why we go to the meetings on Tuesdays.
Hashtag dick's too big.
We had a serious conversation about this whole idea, this world of like everyone eating each other yeah. alive, trying to bury each other.
Yeah.
For what though? For what gain?
What does it do?
Because guess what?
Yeah.
The older I get, the more I learn. Everybody, and I mean it, dude. I mean
yeah.
everybody listening, everybody watching, everybody has issues as
yeah.
deep as the ocean.
Yeah.
Like nobody is exempt. I've never met one person who's flawless. I've never met one person who like, no, it seems to be all clicking and nothing is wrong.
Yeah.
Like if by the way, if that is the perception, it's bullshit.
Yeah.
It's bullshit.
Like
we're also very, very flawed.
It's so funny. Like I would think that like Conan O'Brien is one of the most well-adjusted, perfect people on the planet.
Yeah.
And then I listened to his podcast with Stern
mm.
and they broke down the performer's brain and how much anxiety Conan has and how he, even with all the money and the show and
doesn't matter.
Everything
doesn't
still
matter.
Fucked up. And I'm just like, wow. So none of us are immune. None of us.
And that's just not just people inside our business. We're privy to that because of where we sit, because what
sure.
we do. But dude, that's every
everyone.
Every as my dad would say, every Tom, Dick, and Harry. You know that's an old phrase. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry.
That's
you ever heard
funny.
That? Every
no.
Tom, Dick, and Harry down
every
there.
Every Tom. Now would be like every Aiden.
Every Aiden.
Every Hermione.
Every Bryson.
Every Bryce.
Every Bryson. Every Aiden. And every Carpaccio.
Yeah.
Whatever. Some weird. There's always some weird where you're like, well, if I can name it.
Yeah, Carpaccio.
But yeah, every Tom, Dick, and Harry has an issue. My father used to say that my dad was my YMCA basketball coach.
Mm.
And he would yell, he would say stuff. And it was hard for me to not make fun of my father. Also, it's my dad.
Sure.
And so I would get in the most trouble because he wanted to discipline me the hardest in front of the team.
Mm.
It wasn't like, oh, your dad, it's a freebie. Oh, no, dude. Way harder to play for your father. Way
yeah.
more judgmental. Way more critical. Way
right.
angry at your the car ride home from practices are awful.
Well, Dad, because
he can kill you.
It continues.
Yeah, it never ends.
Most dads aren't there for the practices.
I
and
know.
They just go, "How was practice?" No, he was there.
No, he was there. He was there, and he would call me out of my bullshit.
Yeah,
it's like you were running half-ass. You were doing those down and backs so half-ass. You shouldn't play. you shouldn't play next week. Oh, that stuff hits home. But he would say, Tom, Dick, and Harry. And I had to make jokes. He used to set me up to win. He would use these old phrases like that. And it's like, you think I'm not going to say Tom's Dick Harry? You think I'm not going to say that to my buds? Are you out of your mind? You just gave that to me. Like,
yeah. Come on, man.
That's my wheelhouse, kid. You know what I mean? Like, you're entering the dragon, bro.
It's like in every action movie, they're still using "over my dead body." Mm-hmm. And you're like, you think the guy's not going to have a comeback for "over my dead body"?
So
you think
easy.
He's not going to have a, you said it. Okay, as you want, as you wish. Anything like that?
When you hear "over my dead body" in an action film, it's like when LeBron has a breakaway and you're like, well, get ready. When you see, you're just like waiting for the action to happen.
Yeah.
By the way, do you like basketball? Side note?
Yeah.
What's happening in Los Angeles? Is this the craziest thing you've ever seen in your entire life?
I'm so excited. I mean, granted, I want the Clippers to suck because I'm a diehard Lakers fan.
They're not gonna suck though.
I know, and that's so
depressing.
They're
gonna be pretty good this year, bud.
I think they're gonna be great.
Watching Kawhi Leonard and Paul George play together might be cooler than watching AD and LeBron play.
Oh yeah,
I just think it might be cooler.
I think it is because Paul George and Kawhi are also friends,
yeah,
who wanted to play together.
Right, they asked for it.
You know what I mean? They orchestrated it. Not necessarily like because AD and LeBron have the same agent and he kind of...
Well, I think that... So AD, I mean, you know, AD and LeBron is more like... Is more like a Coca-Cola move, right? It's more like it's more like Coca-Cola could organize that.
Yeah.
And Kawhi Leonard and Paul George seems like it'd be like... RC Cola, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's out of left field. It's like, it could be good. I don't know. Jolt, remember Jolt Cola?
Is Cola not enough caffeine for you? Is coffee not doing it?
We got both. We got both.
We have a solution,
dude. They're like the underdog. They're like the A&W root beer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's why I think a lot of Los Angelinos that have been loyal to Clipper Nation are finally getting some payback. It's been too hard for them to sit in the Lakers world, even though the Lakers have had some just super subpar seasons.
Abominable years.
It just doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. They're still, the legacy is still so thick.
Well, and it's funny because on the day we're recording this, at the Rams game, which was today at the Coliseum, they played the Bucks, got blown out. They introduced Kawhi and Paul George at Los Angeles Coliseum.
Oh, wow.
They were booed.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
According to Rich Eisen.
Isn't Kawhi Leonard from L.A.?
I think so, yeah.
Isn't he an L.A. kid?
Yeah.
I feel like he's from L.A.
What
an awful thing to do to somebody.
And so is Paul George.
He is?
Because he wanted to play with the Lakers.
For some reason, I think Paul George is. I think they both...
I could be wrong. We'll be corrected
on... We could Google it.
We'll be corrected on social media. But
they'll kill us.
Yeah, they'll be like, the cancel culture. He said Paul George.
These guys are idiots.
Deserve to work.
Reddit will have our ass.
Yeah, according to Rich Eisen's tweet, he said they were booed.
Yeah, they were booed?
Yeah.
What a super... Meanwhile, when you go to the Rams game, you see Danny Trejo on the sidelines. Danny Trejo gets more attention than half of the teams. People lose their minds.
People love Danny Trejo.
I had him on this podcast. He was one of the coolest, smoothest dudes who was just so, like, honestly himself. I've never met a guy who wasn't at his career level and age level and experience level that wasn't a little bit phony. Do you know what I mean?
I think once you go to prison... Before the success, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like once you do that, you're like, "What are you gonna do to me?"
Right. He told people. I advise people to go back and listen to it and watch the Trejo interview because I got to tell you, he told some incredible stories about how he found God and found hope and peace in prison, and that led him to becoming an actor when he got out. He had nothing to do with it.
Wow.
He was a boxer. I don't know if you know this. He was an incredible boxer, like a very like city renowned boxer here in Los Angeles. So was his uncle, and apparently, like a friend of a friend was a stunt guy on a show, and they were like, "Dude, they need someone to come teach these fucking actors how to fight. These idiots don't know how to fight.
Yeah,
these phony bitch actors can't can't throw a fist."
Oh, yeah. So true.
So sure enough, he got hired to be like kind of like a day player to like teach them how to fight. And the director was like, "Dude, you're dope," and he was like, "Yeah, okay," and he was like, "Do you want to just like be in the scene?"
Yeah.
And Trejo was like, yeah, like, I guess. And like, because he said, and he said, like, he said, like, I'm not trying to say, like, oh, I just picked it up and I could act right away. He was like,
right.
But I didn't have to act for the first couple of years. They were just like, just say what you would
just
say.
Be you.
Just say what you would say in prison.
Yeah.
Because they would write these lines that were like, you better back up, bud. You know,
yeah, whatever. You better back off, man. And I'll see you in the shower later.
And he was like, we would never talk like that. Like, he corrected him. Are you out of your mind? Nobody would say that. So the authentic version of him, you're right. It was like, he was so real that's what kind of brought him to the forefront of like being who he is, machete. And he embraces every single second of it.
Good
he
him,
said
man.
A good phrase that I think I want to repeat, because if you haven't heard the episode, this was so important. He said, other people can think you're famous, mm-hmm. but you cannot. I was like, ooh, that's very cold.
That is dope. Very good.
Other people can think you're famous.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Because the second you do,
it's over.
Now you're a dick.
You're a goofball.
Yeah.
You're an idiot and you're self-indulgent.
And you think you matter more than other people.
You're gonna lose all sense of reality. It's over. It's over.
That's so funny.
Because other people can think you're famous. Because I said, do you think you're famous?
Yeah.
Because I said, the way we talk, you don't act like you're famous.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have like a presence of fame. Like, he doesn't do that thing where, it's like, you know, he introduced himself to everybody that was in the old studio
mm-hmm.
as if they didn't know who he might be. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a cool thing when he goes, hey, man, I'm Danny. And of course, everybody's like, oh, I know.
And not doing the thing like, hey, Danny Trejo. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he didn't pause and like, this is a huge moment for you.
By the way, that would have been dope.
I mean, we would have accepted it.
Totally.
It would have been great.
But that was impressive to me. Like, whenever I see famous people that I know around my circle that I've either buddies with or nearby,
yeah.
When I see them do things like that, I'm always like, very cool. Very cool to like be humble and normal and not do the thing that I think like that. That's what I find interesting about like old Hollywood, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
They were so into doing that thing that I think I would have hated most of those people.
But also when you think about old Hollywood was like 10 famous people.
Totally.
Like that was it.
It was like Sinatra, Humphrey Bogart. It was like,
yeah.
It was like five women and five men.
Yeah. And that was it. They were in all the shit. No one knew anyone else. Like now it's like, oh.
That's very true.
Like they're literally the guy that lives across the street from me is an Instagram influencer, has like 3 million followers.
Mm.
I don't know who the fuck he is.
But life's real good for him.
Yeah, and someone knows who he is. And like now there's just like too many famous people. It's like, oh, I have to know who Boston Rob is from Survivor.
Who is Boston Rob?
He's a person.
That's a guy from Survivor.
Yeah, I have to know who the host is from that show where they make knives on the History Channel.
Oh, that's great.
Like, you know, like you have to know all these people and it's like, no. But back in the day, there's like, five people.
Yeah, you
10 max.
Well,
like,
also,
they were famous.
There was not that many outlets, right?
Right.
Now, there's way more things to see.
Five channels, three movies.
This is really funny to me.
Okay.
Who's the most, quote unquote, famous person that you've met that, like in that like that world that you did not know was famous? Like in their world, they're mega famous and you meet them and somebody goes, do you not know that this because have you met someone where you had no idea how famous they were?
Shit.
Because it's in their little nook niche world or whatever?
At the store one time there was, and I because it didn't matter to me, I don't remember their name. Like it was some YouTuber and like he saw my set and then posted a photo, and then like my nephew who follows him was like, you met so and so? And I'm like, did I? I don't know. Who was that?
Maybe.
Sure. And like, he's like, dude, he does the thing. And I'm just like, I have no idea who you're talking about.
And right. And he's one of these guys who has like 40 million. Yeah.
And it's like, I have no, like, and it wasn't like a photo like him and me. It was just like, hey, I'm at the Comedy Store. And
right.
Like, Santino's here. Brad Williams is here. Blah, blah, blah. And like, that was it. And,
God, but that's mind blowing.
It's truly mind blowing. It's mind blowing to me that I can walk through an airport and 99% of the people don't know who I am. And that's fine. I don't think they should. But then one person sees me and goes, oh my God. Like, all these people don't give a fuck.
Right.
But that one person
gives a fuck. Yeah, they give a big fuck.
They go nuts and you're like, wow, that's so strange. And I think like you and I are like at a great level of fame right now where the people that do recognize us, we can actually give them attention And it's not, sure, and yeah, it's not annoying.
Yeah.
It's not like, hey, yeah, we'll take the photo. Sure, why not?
I have my security guard shove them away. No, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we have time where we can take the time to, like, be nice to everyone that really recognizes us out in the wild.
Well, see, I feel like in the wild, when somebody says hi to me,
mm-hmm,
because of what you're saying, because of, like, the uniqueness of how niche, like, my recognizability or whatever is very niche anyway. It's to a very specific market. Somebody, when somebody does see me, I'm always like, dope, what's up?
Yeah.
What up, man? And then they're surprised I'm also that I say what's up.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you didn't like, yeah, you didn't snap your fingers and have a guy in a suit like come thrust my head into a sewer pipe? Like, no, why would I do that?
It was a guy at the brewery the other day. He kept looking at me and waiting, like staring at me when I would talk. And when I was done talking, he'd go, wow. I was like, what? I think people are so used to hearing us, our voices like this, like mm-hmm, then their headphones are in their car. Oh, and that reminds me, I should say this before I move forward. There was a young lady who I met at JFL 42 who drove super far to come fucking see me. She mm-hmm came to the live podcast. It was so incredible that she did all that. I want to shout out to you and appreciate you very much. I'm a couple of fingers deep, so I don't know. I forgot her name because I'm a fucking idiot. But she was so dope and so cool. She knows exactly who she is. She sat in the front row and asked questions. And
so great.
Afterwards, we took a photo. She was so cool. She drove super far.
Yeah.
Not to negate everybody else who came. I'm just saying, it was one of those moments. She came alone, and she put up a post about, like, saying that she was, like, taking a leap and driving alone and felt kind of weird about it. And I was like, thank God for people to do shit like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck it.
How great is that?
Do it. Do it.
Yeah. It's so cool. It like, I'm still at a level right now where I can't believe it. And anyone who, like, is
anybody
really
who
excited,
supports us, yeah, great.
Awesome.
Fuck.
Like, because you...
Especially because you know about Brad's very, very shaky history, you know? Very, very shady past.
Very shady. Like, yeah, like, you don't have to dive too deep into
but
my
let's
tweets.
Go pretty deep. We do know we do know about your racism. And now that you married someone who's Asian, that's...
I mean,
isn't that hard for you because of all the racial epithets that you've yelled over the years?
Very. Like, thank God she's not on Twitter.
Right. She read all that stuff?
Oh, my God. Like, I would have nations mad at me.
Because you were the one that typed up that monologue for Shane Gillis that he said on that. That was you, right?
Yeah. I'm a ghostwriter for Shane. Yeah. I'm a ghostwriter for Shane's podcast. Do you know that? Yeah.
Can you believe how many people are still mad about that on the internet that you're like, guys, I'm not going to read another article in the LA Times about how you think there's a civil war. Somebody wrote that there's a civil war in comedy.
Civil war in comedy.
It's the dumbest shit I've ever.
I read that post too.
There's actually still a civil war happening in America.
Yeah.
On very larger terms.
So I don't give a fuck.
Comedy is not existing in that term.
Yeah. And by
people
the way,
have real problems.
It's not.
Yeah.
Like they're like I have friends that have a certain perspective on the Shane Gillises and the Hannah Gatsby's of the world, and I have a certain perspective on them, and we don't match on it. But when we go to a club, we're fine.
Yeah, nothing matters.
You know what I mean? Like it's amazing that, and granted, they're just trying to sell articles. It's like the Vice writer that wrote, you should not watch Dave Chappelle's special,
AKA watch it.
Yeah.
By the way, telling me not to watch it is only going to make me watch it.
And
don't eat that. Don't touch that. Don't do that. I'm going to do it.
That's been proven so many times. Fucking Elvis Presley's career was made because they only photographed him from the waist up on the Ed Sullivan Show because they thought that his pelvic thrusts were too suggestive.
Oh.
So then when the crowd went ape shit when he was doing stuff, everyone was just like, what is he doing?
Right.
What is he doing that's making girls faint at the Ed Sullivan studio?
Isn't that crazy that girls used to faint from that? They they get overwhelmed from that?
Yeah. That, like, what would they do now if they...
Chris Brown shows his fuck gutters on stage. You know, his eight-pack and his fuck gutters. And girls
fuck
are
gutters.
Yeah, that's what they are. Those fuck gutters. And girls are barely paying attention. It's just like... We're so over-sexualized, over-hyped.
Yeah.
No one's ever going to faint again at a live show unless they're on Molly and they haven't had enough water.
Give them water.
Is he freaking out because of so and so on stage?
No. They had a bad case of
bad
Molly.
Bad trip. I thought Charlie XCX was really banging up there, whatever the fuck.
Have you finally gotten, because I've realized, because I remember when I was growing up and I would have, like, because I was like a teenager and I would have all these adults be like, man, music sucks. It's not like back in our day. Mm-hmm. Like Green Day is horrible. Offspring's horrible. Yeah. Back in our day, they're real bands. I thought, I will never be you. I will never be you. And now I'm 35 and I am totally them.
You're that guy.
Yeah. I'm totally them.
Well, dude, I had a conversation with someone about this. So I'm shooting that FX show with Little Dicky, and like, so there's a bunch of rappers that come and they go on the show. Yeah. And I had a conversation with this kid, Taco, from Odd Future.
Okay.
Do you know who Odd Future is?
I don't know any
words. Do you know
Tyler,
the Creator? Do you know who that is?
I know that name.
Okay, so he's part of a group called Odd Future, and there's a lot of like...
I don't know what he's created.
Sure. Oh, great music. Great music, to be honest. He's the shit. Yeah, he's very, very talented.
Cool.
But I think that like... Him and I were talking about SoundCloud and the idea of SoundCloud rappers and that new age kind of version of hip-hop.
Mumble rap
and
stuff
I was trying
that, yeah.
to say, I don't want to be that guy
that
goes... Eh, they're fucking trash.
Right.
But from just like a musical perspective,
yeah,
I don't think it's as strong musically, right? I just am like, even if I don't like a message, even if I'm not loving the lyrics, like I just think sometimes musically, talent-wise, I'm like, this just doesn't add up to being...
Yeah.
Like some things I feel like are just objective, right? Brennan has a great joke about Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. You know, he's like, if you look it up, there's still like 10,000 people that gave it thumbs down on YouTube. You're like, really? Like, really?
A deaf guy wrote a symphony?
It's almost like, but anyway, it's like some things are just objectively just brilliant because they're just, they defy the times, right? They just defy everything that's happening around them. And I just feel like whatever's happening in music right now, there's so much good music out right now.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of people are like, it's not what it was. No, there is a great shit.
Oh, there's amazing
stuff. Sergio Simpson just put out a new album, and I think he's the fucking man. Like, there's great shit. It's just, I think there's, like you said, there's more famous people, so there's more shit to sift through. How about that?
Right.
Like, there's just more, we have more shit available to us. It's not like our shit was better than their shit. It's just.
No, it's just back in the day, like, and this is like, when I say back in the day, I mean 5 years ago. Stuff was so curated for us.
Sure.
That like they just said, oh no, this is the good shit.
Right.
And we said, okay. And now it's
now
like,
there's more access. You can
how
have
would
everything.
How do you vote on a Grammy this year?
How do you even find? Well, here's my thing is like, how do you find so many artists? Like, I'm surprised how many artists get found, you know, get made and get found.
Oh,
Speaking of which, that Tekashi 6ix9ine, that's guy, you know, they're putting him in witness protection program.
Yeah.
How many jokes can you write about this?
Oh, I mean, yeah. The joke is you have like 69 tattooed
on your face
all over 69 times. It's like, yeah, how are you going to hide? Where will you hide? Like, although for a lot of white people, he could just join Migos.
There it is. And then they wouldn't know the difference.
They would not know. They'd be like,
but I don't think that's who's trying to kill him. White people are not trying to come after him.
Very true.
Yeah. I don't think there's a lot of white gang members trying to kill Tekashi. And by the way, I'm sorry to offend all the white gang members out there. I know you guys are out there. You guys are doing... You're doing your thing. Yeah. No, actually, all the
white... We run the streets.
All the white gang members are just like, hey, man. We don't know. Hey, man. They're all, it's all Theo Von voices.
I tell you.
Hey, man, you better not talk that shit, man. Are there white gangs? Maybe. That's why I said that. There's probably white gangs in the South. I don't think there's any white gangs anywhere I live. How about that?
There you go. That's fair.
There's no white gangs near me. How about that?
There you go.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you got a guy selling Oxy, but that's the closest thing you're going to get, too.
I guess. I don't know if that's a gang. Like the Hoover Crips, I know who those guys are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the, by the way, we work with some Crips and or Bloods on our show.
Mm.
We don't really talk about it.
Sure.
But the presence of gang members on a set is very powerful. Gang members have the same thing that famous people have, by the way. Like big leaders in the gang, they feel the same to me as when I meet someone famous.
They have a publicist?
They have two publicists. One for the streets, right. One for the freaks. No, they have they just have the same presence, dude. It's hard to describe.
Yeah.
They have the exact same presence as someone who's very powerful, that's famous. I wish I could encapsulate this in words. It's very odd. It's like, ooh, they are...
Well, you know...
They're very good at what they
and
do.
And you know something's different about
Yeah, something's that. Unique.
You can look at... whomever it is and be like, you're not like all
the
of
others,
us. You're not like us. Like, and whether that be an athlete, a performer, or a gang member, you just go like, that's
In here we pour whiskey.
Whiskey Ginger is brought to you in part by Mack Weldon. Their mission is simple: to make sure your basics and beyond are smartly designed and shopping is so easy and convenient with them. A lot of people may be familiar with Mack Weldon as underwear, but they do way more than that, man. The most comfortable socks and shirts, undershirts, hoodies, sweatpants. They got all sorts of comfy clothing for the nightlife at the crib. They really are more than just underwear. I know a lot of people think they are, but they're way more than that, you know. And it's great. It's great plain tees, plain socks, really nice, beautiful design, simple, which is what I love. I'm a simple dude. You know that, mentally and physically. Very simple man. But I loved it, man. I love the shirts. I actually love the socks. I throw away socks all the time. I know that's bad to say out loud, but I go through socks like crazy because my feet be stinking in my shoes. But I highly suggest going to MackWeldon.com. Enter the promo code WHISKEY, W-H-I-S-K-E-Y, for 20% off your first order. It's incredible, man. This stuff is really great. Honestly, it's comfy, comfy stuff. It's not just underwear. People think they're just underwear. They're not, man. They have great socks, great sweatpants, and I love their shirts because I love nice plain tees to kick it around the crib in. So go ahead and go to Mack Weldon, MackWeldon.com. Enter the promo code WHISKEY for 20% off your first order. You ain't going to be disappointed because the Whiskey Ginge sent you here. Gang members, a gang is the same kind of entertainment factor as wanting to somewhat be famous. You want to be famous in your neighborhood, in your streets. Like you want to be, they want to be famous.
It's a lower level.
It's just a different kind of fame. You want to be recognized. You want power. You want respect.
You want respect.
That's what fame usually is. Generally, you just want to be known. You want power. So it's the same kind of idea. That's why when they're like, gang, it's like the one dude was saying how like, you know, his homies were like, bitch ass doing Hollywood bullshit. But it's like, they all want to do Hollywood bullshit.
Well,
because it just exposes you to kind of have more clout, more rep. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
More rep means everything. when you were growing up and you were a gangbanger.
When I was a gangbanger, right, in the mean streets of Fullerton, California.
Yeah, Orange County.
Orange County. Yeah.
What was the name of your gang in Orange County? What were you guys called?
The 4 foot fighters.
The 4 foot fighters?
Yeah, it was all dwarves.
All little people?
All little people gang.
Wow.
Yeah, the.
Did you guys have custom made weapons and shit?
I mean, yeah, because you couldn't do brass knucks,
right?
Because the finger's too small. You know what I mean? Like, right. It didn't work. So we had to like go get like custom brass knucks made. Now we still used knives, but they were like katana swords. You know what I mean? Like, we had a knife.
A kitchen knife,
like,
was like a katana
sword. Yeah, yeah. We're like, big swing. You know, like it was all. It was a whole thing.
Did you guys murder people?
Cool. I mean, you can die from stab wounds to the knee.
Yeah,
Andrew.
I guess you cut
There's
off
some
the,
arteries.
What is that? Yeah, you
there.
Cut off the main artery down there. Like, right.
You can bleed out slow.
If you guys punched me in my tibia, my fibula. Which one's the big one? The fibula, tibia.
I think the fibula is the big one.
Yeah.
Save your tweets.
If you crack this, I die.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So I'll fucking
break
you, son.
Plus, you're right at penis height. Yeah. So easy to use your like a punching bag. You know? Oh,
see, I wish if I had.
I've told my audience this, by the way.
Yeah.
You used to be tall.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I just did this for the hook.
It's a good bit.
Yeah, it's a great. Like I'm doing like some advanced. Andy Kaufman shit.
It's a good bit. Like, this is a good bit.
I'm
doing some advanced Andy Kaufman. You're really committing. Dude.
Really committing.
That's all the way in.
Yeah. I remember one time I got off stage and there was a comic who just went like, man, you're so lucky you got that. And I'm like, fuck you.
What kind of...
Really?
I don't want to get into it because you'll probably tell me who it is and I'll just eat him alive.
Oh, it's not anyone who's famous now. Okay. It's fine.
But just an idiot. Yeah, yeah.
Sure. Yeah, fucking.
You're so lucky you got that.
A comic that can't write a joke.
Yeah, right.
So he would need something like that.
I know who it is.
Yeah.
You're lucky you got that.
Yeah, and you're like, do you? And I just stopped and went, do you want all of this?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if you want to be disabled,
let's switch.
We can do it.
Let's switch. Like, where's the genie? Where's the magic wish
wand?
We
can fucking Freaky Friday this shit.
That's what I was saying, Freaky.
Yeah. Let's both pee in a fountain and have a lightning strike hit. Let's go get a monkey's paw at a weird shop. Let's make it happen,
wish
man.
On a Zoltar machine.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's switcheroo, baby.
Let's do the switch. And guess what? By the end of it, by the end of the story, when you're like, wow, I've lived your life, and now I'm very thankful that I have my life, and the things that I hated about my life, I now will great. No, I would stay in your body and say, fuck you, you are still a midget.
But enjoy. But you probably want your penis, so you don't want to give that up. So that's the problem. Yeah. See, that's the problem.
I can't lose any dick, sorry.
You can't. You see? See?
Don't get me wrong. My wife would love it if it was smaller.
Yeah, right.
Love it.
Right, yeah, it'd make it easier.
So much better for her. So maybe I would keep it just to make her happy because I'm sensitive.
Yeah. You are. You're a sweet guy. You're thoughtful. People don't know, but Brad's got we call it a tuna can. He's got a tuna can. It's not long, but boy, is it wide.
It's wide. Not long at all. It is wide. Woof. Yeah.
By the way, when you said Andy Kaufman, the only thing I can think of is I always go back to the fact that Kaufman, two things. One, worked at Cantor's Deli while he was on Taxi, which is the craziest thing. I always think about that. Whenever I go to past Cantor's, I go, wow, Andy Kaufman was on a hit and a hit network television show making a ton. Back then, they made a ton
of money.
It was absurd.
There was four channels.
It was disgusting. To a degree where, like, when we joked on I'm Dying Up Here that took place in 1971, this Showtime show that I did, we would joke that that some people on TV were making $30,000 or $40,000 an episode back in 1971, dude.
Yeah.
In 1971, they were making $40,000 an episode.
So when your character, when one of the characters on the show was Benny the Mailman, and like instantly moved into like a mansion in the hills, you want to be like, yeah.
Yep.
That's what would happen.
Actually happened. Used to happen. Now you get on four TV shows and you get, you know, a modest house in the valley.
Very modest
house in the valley.
You're doing all right.
But it's true. But it's like you have to, but the difference is amazing. But yeah, Andy Kaufman was working at Cantor's.
Mm-hmm.
Cantor's, if you don't know, is a Jewish deli on Fairfax.
One of the best.
And he would work there while he was on the television show Taxi because he just didn't want to lose. Well, I don't know his reasoning. I assume it was because he just kind of wanted to stay in this weird, like, man of the people zeitgeisty thing where they're, you know, he want, like what Bill Murray does. It's almost like Murray took a few notes from him. Do you know what I mean? Like, he still wants to be a man of the people. It's like Andy did that constantly. So anyway, the other thing I was thinking of is what's happening now.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if Andy would have been so quickly moved away from the business because Andy would wrestle women. You should look it up if you don't know Andy Kaufman. He would wrestle women on television, and he would do this brooding, sexist character.
A villain because he was a huge fan of pro wrestling.
You want to be the heel. That's his whole thing.
I loved how the bad guys would do it, so I'm going to be the bad guy.
Yeah.
And he did it.
Yep.
And then people wouldn't put two and two together.
First of all, they thought it was real, which is insane.
That's true. Isn't it weird to think when we're like, man, I mean, humans are pretty smart. We're the smartest and the dumbest.
Dumbest by far. I think we're still dumb.
Like, we didn't fully acknowledge
some of us are smart.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of us are smart.
Some people build stuff.
Vast majority dumb. Right. Like, I just watched the Bill Gates thing on Netflix. And you're like, okay, Bill and his people are going to save the world. We're fucking it up.
They're the only ones that can.
They're going to try to save it. But yeah, like, you watch that, like, pro wrestling didn't become acknowledged that it was fixed and fake until like 98. Like, it was, like not too long ago.
No.
It was wildly.
Well, it used to just kind of be like we all knew, but no one talked about it.
Yeah.
Type of thing. But like now when they buy more into it, and they push more of the rhetoric of like, it is quote unquote theater, fake or whatever you want to say. But the physicality is real.
Oh no, and I'm a huge wrestling fan.
So that's the defense that people have.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't give a shit about wrestling. It's not my thing, but also I don't want to get even fake choke slammed by a 6'8" 235 guy.
Like, I've run the ropes and the ropes will leave huge bruises.
Oh, they hurt. It hurts.
They're not rubber bands.
No, it all
They're
hurts.
They're elevator cables.
And people are like, the canvas. That canvas that you land on, it is not soft on your body.
No.
This isn't pillows with you and your buddies and when you're young and you're wrestling in somebody's couch or living room.
Yeah.
No. This is hard.
This
is
you taking a bump on a fucking trampoline.
No.
I've been in wrestling rings before and I'm like stomping going, this isn't giving.
Like, this is concrete.
At all. This is hard.
Yeah, we made it out of bricks.
Yeah, you're like, oh, but it's got one spring in the middle, so land there.
Land there. I think, but Kaufman and his wrestling thing, he would have been fucked today. You think about that? Wrestling women, this character he played, even if it's a character, they still would have been like, there's so much subtext here. He really does hate women.
Well,
he's a sexist. He's a racist. I mean, he did all these things mocking somebody.
There was a wrestler post 9/11.
Oh, post. His name was post 9/11. So Post Malone's buddy.
That would have been a great wrestling name,
ladies and gentlemen. Post 9/11.
Oh my God! It's post 9/11.
You want to tell me something, brother?
His finisher is the crumbling tower.
Crumbling towers.
Yeah, crumbling towers.
It's like two guys on each side.
So there's this guy, there's this wrestler. His name was Muhammad Hassan. Yeah, and he was post 9/11, and he was sort of like a 9/11, like, how do I describe him? He wasn't a Muslim terrorist, but he was definitely anti-American and Muslim.
And Muslim.
Yes, and right, from the Middle East.
So WWE was...
Yeah,
and they rock in a hard place.
The hate against this guy was so strong.
Well, yeah, dude,
they had to kill him.
They had to kill him out of the WWE.
Yeah,
but did he come back as a new character?
I don't believe. I think he started wrestling like indies and stuff. Yeah, Undertaker power bombed him like off the stage, so you couldn't see him, and it was just like. He's dead.
That's it. He's dead. Like, who's the guy that jumped off the top of the thing?
Mankind, Mick Foley.
And he died. No. Who's the guy that died that jumped off the top of the?
Owen Hart.
Owen Hart
was coming in as an entrance, and then his cable
fell,
snapped,
right,
and he fell, and they kept doing the show.
Shut up.
Yeah.
They didn't know he was dead?
No, they knew.
Shut up.
Because I heard Jim Ross, who was the announcer that night.
Jeff Ross's brother.
Jeff Ross's brother, Jim Ross. He's the WrestleMaster General. he was on a podcast, and apparently he said this story where in his earpiece, he had a guy saying, "Hey, guys, just letting you know, Owen is gone.
Oh, my God.
We lost Owen, but we're going to keep going. And we're back in 3.
Shut two, up.
And he's like, what the fuck?
No
like,
way, dude.
Like, I'm
how
all...
How could you keep going? There was a comedian that died last year on stage. And for 20 minutes, people thought it was a bit.
Yeah.
What is his name?
I forgot. Well, I know that Super Dave Osborne Albert Brooks' dad died at a roast. His their
Super Dave died at a roast?
No, not Super Dave.
I was
his dad.
He did die.
Yeah.
Last year, but
so Super Dave Osborne and whose real name is Bob Einstein.
Yeah, Bob Einstein, yeah.
And Albert Brooks, whose real name is Albert Einstein, but he had changed it.
Right.
I guess there was some other one.
There was? Never heard of him.
So their dad was like a Catskills roast comic and was doing a roast, did his set, sat down, put his head down,
and died.
Died.
Wow. He killed.
Yeah, he killed. And
he sat down on the stage and died on stage?
At the dais.
Oh, my God.
So he sat down at the table and just went.
Oh, my fucking God.
And then just like
God.
Put his head down and
took
then
a nap.
Died. Then died.
Damn.
Like, So they stopped the show. They stopped that show.
I mean, I don't know. You got to roast him a little bit. You know what I mean?
I mean, I think Milton Berle had a couple of lines probably. Like, my dick can revive him or something like that. Right. I don't know. If you know who Milton Berle is, that's actually a good improv
right
joke.
That's right up the line of Milton Berle.
Right there. I'd have to look it up, but
what would be your worst and best way to go?
Oh. Because, well,
like, you know, you've heard the story, like, Matthew McConaughey constantly brags about his dad died having sex with his mom. Do you know that?
No, but that's...
McConaughey's father died on top of his mother having sex with his mom.
Wow.
And as the legend has it, although I don't want to inflate more of fucking Matthew McConaughey's ego, the Lincoln commercial guy who can't take a joke, he says that his mother... When they were carrying out the body, his dick was still hard. His dad's dick was still hard. And she removed the tarp from his body and was like, let people see what he's got going on. to see how big his cock was, right? That's the legend that they would like to throw.
I doubt that actually.
That's exactly what I said.
But okay.
But that's very Matthew McConaughey.
For purposes of you, Matthew, we will say that happened.
I mean, I won't. I don't give a fuck about him. I don't know the dude. I just think it's such a hacky fake. There's no fucking way that's real. Anyway, that's, of course, he says he wants to go. What is your way that you'd love to go? Like, what's the, what would be like, that's my way?
Yeah, I mean.
Sleep? You want to go in your sleep?
But, like, there's something about, have you ever just had a show or done a thing where afterward you're just like, I'm completely at peace right now?
With the happiness, how satisfied I am?
Yeah.
Or the fact that it was like so bad that you're like, I could just go.
I mean, kind of both.
I've had a couple of shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like after I shot my second special, Daddy Issues, if I had went to sleep that night and not woken up, I'd be like, yeah.
Fine with it.
That's cool.
That's wild.
You know what I mean? Like there's certain milestones you hit. Like now my wife is pregnant. We have a daughter on the way. So now it's like, no, I can't. Like, I have so much more to do now.
Yeah.
But like.
But I'll take care of your kid, man.
Yeah, of course.
Papa Santino. Uncle Santino. Uncle Santino always smells like liquor.
Tell me stories of my tiny father.
Let me tell you something. Your dad was a great man, but the whole being short thing was fake. That was fake.
It was a hook.
Do you know, by the way, you know that's like a running joke for me that I get to say to friends. I do that all the time. Like if your name comes up in conversation,
yeah,
and someone will say your name and they'll go, oh, you're friends with Brad.
Yeah.
I'll go, yeah, I am. Yeah, I love Brad. And they'll go, they'll say something complimentary. And then I'll go, I don't know. I just think like the faking the legs, like the being short thing is such a phony. It's just like a bad phony bit. I'll go, Brad used to be tall and and this whole thing is ever since he moved to LA, Orange County, he wasn't that way. This is he went Hollywood.
There's yearbook pictures of him on the basketball team.
He used to be black.
Yeah.
Very different. Brad was very different.
Yeah, that whole surgery. No. People say that for the record, I do not see it, but people say that I look like a mini Mac from Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh yeah.
People
have, oh my God. I had to close my eyes for a second, but yeah.
Yeah, people have told me that.
I don't see it.
Some people see it. Okay, fine. So like maybe that's what you do is like, oh no. That's Brad.
That's Brad.
Like Mac Always Sunny.
This whole thing?
He
does this at night when he leaves set.
Brad Williams is his dwarf comedic persona.
By the way, think about if you had your dwarf alter ego.
You're Max Dwarf.
So we played a prank at the Montreal Comedy Festival.
By the way, you never told me
what
how you want to go.
Oh.
After a good show?
Yeah.
And how do you want to not go? What's the worst thing you want to do? What's like the one? You know, people say like burning or drowning.
Yeah, those two are pretty bad.
That's it?
Yeah.
I always say stabbed.
Oh, stabbed's pretty bad too.
Because I feel like you feel all of it all the way out.
Well, because
like a kid just got stabbed here in Hollywood. It was on the news the other day, and all I could think to my wife, I was like, just fucking shoot me.
Right.
Please fucking just shoot me.
Gun back of the head, bang.
I don't want to feel it like leaking out of me. Please fucking shoot
and
me.
And it's usually like, it's a slow thing.
Oh my God. Especially if it's over and over again.
Oh, yeah. Like I would hope that the brain would do something, like if you're burning alive, that the brain.
You know it does.
Shuts down.
Well, no, you know it does. When you drown, too, you know, it releases like all of your serotonin levels. It's a flood.
Yeah.
So you get really kind of stoned. You kind of black out and get high. That's what they say.
Yeah.
That's what they say the brain does that.
So I would hope that would happen in those scenarios. So maybe drowning's not that bad because you're like.
I think it probably is, dude.
Yeah, it's just the panic.
Yeah, the panic would kill you.
Yeah,
I don't want to go in my sleep. I want to go.
Well, the water in your lungs kills you. But yeah, the panic's pretty bad too.
So I don't want to go from stabbing. That's my worst. But I do want to go from, my preference would be as I lay down. You know when you're over-traveled and so tired that you're like, you know when you're kind of lethargic from being so tired that you're almost like high or drunk.
Yeah.
Like you're so tired,
but
it feels really good. You know what I mean? And you're almost like giggly and weird.
Yeah, and it's like that's when you're like you're so tired you can't sleep.
Yes,
But you're just laying in bed. You know you have to catch up on sleep, and it's just not happening.
It's not happening. You're just like lucid.
But you're
and
just
weird.
Lethargic. Yeah.
I want that right then.
Interesting.
Take me when I'm like overworked and like just kind of like. My body's shut. It feels like I'm shutting down.
You know what? When I have a 6 a.m. flight, I have two shows on Saturday night, and I have a 6 a.m. flight, and I get back to the hotel room at midnight, or at like 1 o'clock in the morning, and I have to wake up at 3 a.m. to
get
to make my 6 a.m. flight. As I'm like right when my alarm goes off, and I go, ah, fuck, just bullet to the head right then. Bullet to the head. Because I've always made the joke, like, when I wake up in those scenarios, like, if you told me, like, hey, you could go have sex with Emily Ratajkowski right now, or go back to sleep, I'd be like, sleep.
Sleep. Oh,
in
my
a
God.
Second.
Because I can fuck her in my dreams.
Right? Yeah,
the
you know
real
what I mean?
Thing comes with so many consequences. I'd rather just fuck her in my dreams.
That. You know, I had to lose half my shit. My wife finds out. It's
fuck
not
that.
Good.
Fuck no. That.
Yeah, yeah. Like that moment.
Yeah, I like that.
When I wake up and go, fuck. Like, I got to get up to go to this flight. Blah, 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 and like my whole day is playing out in my head. Just take me out right then.
Yeah, that's true. I feel
even
I feel that.
Strangling me, I'd be like excited.
Well, because you wouldn't really feel it. You'd just be going like this.
Yeah,
you'd be smiling. Taking
here
it.
We go.
What was the prank you played in Montreal? I skipped over.
Oh,
it. I
okay.
Hear it.
So, so we talk about us being like, like I'm not a real dwarf or whatever. It's all
because you're not.
Totally true. So there's a puppet act out of Australia. Called
that guy. I saw that guy.
Randy Feltface.
Yeah, Randy Feltface.
He's
yes.
Purple.
Yep. Yeah.
So
it is an actual puppet. For those that aren't understanding what we're saying, there is a man that mans a puppet who actually does stand up and was on the roast. It was part of the roast battle.
Yes. Yeah. So he's doing the roast battle, and I had gotten eliminated. I roasted the Sklar brothers.
I was there for this, by the way.
The Sklar brothers won because it's 2-1. It's a literal handicap match.
They're handicapped?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, twins. From Missouri.
Is their handicap. Eyes.
So the puppeteer for Randy looks at me and goes, hey, do you want to do a thing? I go, yeah, fuck, yeah, okay.
You're so
do
down for bits.
Anything.
I know. I
yes
love
and.
It. That's why I love you.
So they walk out a piece of cardboard in front of him.
Right. For more visual structure for people, there is a table with a drape on it so people don't see where the puppet is coming from. It's not like he's... So you cannot see the man. You don't know who he is.
You just see the puppet.
And the puppet lies above the table,
right?
You know, doing his shit. So it just looks like a puppet is sitting on a picnic table.
Yeah. So I crouch down... Walk out with Randy and just I'm waiting there
underneath the table.
Yeah,
nobody. No. And by the way, nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
Not the audience. Not any of the other comedic talent. None of the producers. Nobody knows.
K. Trevor Wilson. He was roasting K. Trevor Wilson. He didn't know.
So his competition was K. Trevor, and he had no idea.
So and by the way, watching that whole process from behind that thing, holy shit, is this guy talented?
Yeah, he's very good.
He's insane. I have so much respect
for
this
people should
guy.
Look him up. He's very, very funny.
Seeing him do the reaction at the angle that his body was at while talking into his headset mic and doing fucking A.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Unbelievable.
So he's doing that, and then so he loses the roast battle.
Yeah, K. Trevor beats him.
And K. Trevor says, and Randy says, I don't want you to shake the hand of the puppet or hug the puppet. That's dumb. I don't do this. I'm going to come out.
And reveal myself.
And reveal myself so you hug the man and not the puppet. Puppet goes down. I pop up.
I lost my
and
shit.
And the place went nuts.
Fire.
They're like, what?
Fire.
And like, because...
It was so good.
Because also Randy has a hard Australian accent. Like it's... There's no question where he's from.
It's very obvious.
Yeah. So, and I obviously don't. So,
what? Yeah.
Right?
There it is.
There it is. That's my Randy. So,
you popping out.
I pop out. The place goes nuts. I hug K. Trevor. I kneel back down behind the table. Puppet pops back up.
I know, yeah.
To talk to the judges. And at the very end, we did it one more time. The look, I was just on Pete Holmes's podcast.
Yeah.
And I asked him, I go, did you think I was the puppet? He goes, 100% I thought you were the puppet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was sitting right behind him. It was me and Michael Che were sitting right there, and we started
Che thought
out.
I was too.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Clearly I didn't, because I know you
Right.
I'm friends with you.
Yeah.
But yeah. But those, everybody else thought, they were like, holy shit, did Brad really do that? And I just kept my mouth shut. I was like, I'm not gonna fucking ruin this for me and them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Lil Rel comes backstage.
Yeah. He was a
judge. And he talks to me and he goes, man, Brad, oh shit, that was crazy. That was funny. Because, but like, I was talking with Che, like, you're not the puppet, right? And here's where, like, I used to work at Disneyland, and the one rule of Disneyland is, like, you never break.
Yeah, do I? Ever. Would you? Yeah, what?
Never. So when someone says, like, hey, is it hot inside Mickey, or is it hot inside the Donald Duck suit? You go, well, he's got feathers. I mean, that's pretty hot, but he's not wearing pants, so, you know, that's a lot of air up there.
There you go, yeah.
He's fine. Yeah. Like, you do stuff like that. So Rel comes back and like, but you're not the puppet, right? I go, no, I'm not the puppet. Randy's the puppet. He's a puppet.
Yeah, he's a puppet.
And he goes, wait, but you're not controlling him, right? I'm like, no one controls Randy. He's doing his own thing. Like, I was there for a game. Like,
you're feeding him the bullshit. It's like talking to a child.
His eyes got so like, what the fuck is happening right now?
He just saw the math equation from fucking Good Will Hunting in his head. He's like, wait a minute, this can't add up. This motherfucker. Yeah.
And he goes like, but you weren't controlling the puppet. I go, no, Randy does his own thing.
Randy does everything. It's Randy, man.
He goes, but who controls the puppet? I'm like, I don't know. The voice is in Randy's head. I mean, like.
Who tells you what to do, man? You, probably, right? Yeah, people. I can't believe how many people just were like in complete awe that didn't know that was you. I was like, I mean, awesome, fun, but I was also a little nervous. I was like, these guys vote.
Thankfully, not in our country.
No, that's right, Canada.
But, I mean, but we're even worse.
So. Oh, we're way fucking worse. Yeah. I just came back from Canada. I was just what a place.
Oh yeah, you were in Toronto, right?
Toronto, yeah.
Yeah,
it's awesome, dude. That country's, it's
Toronto's
awesome.
A great city.
It's awesome.
Too.
I can't say enough good things about it. Honestly, I thought
every time I go to Montreal, it's fantastic. Everyone who goes to Vancouver says it's like the greatest city ever.
I'm supposed to go to Vancouver.
Toronto's
I'm
fun.
I'm supposed to go to Vancouver. I've been to Vancouver before. I've never done a comedy there, but I'm supposed to go.
Did you go to the Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto?
No, dude. I went to Kensington Market, which was really dope. I jumped around. I talked about it a little bit on the live show about all the stuff that we did, because we did a live show with Ronnie Chang and Esther. It was fun. But speaking of getting your feet on the road, what are you doing right now? Are you touring? What's
touring
up?
Touring like a goddamn.
What's
man,
going
man.
On? Tell me some dates. What's up?
Touring. Some coming up? When's this coming out? More or less.
In a week. Not this week. Next week.
All right. Well, just go to bradwilliamscomedy.com.
Yeah, go check it out.
I got. I tour all over.
You're constant. What are the next couple of days you got coming up? You don't even know. I'm not looking at your phone.
I find out like the week. You know what I mean? It's that thing.
When does your kid do?
Kid is due January 18th. So I'm taking January through March off.
Why?
So I can be home.
For what?
To see the baby.
Dude, Papa is a rolling stone.
Hey, you gotta see the baby.
Jerry.
Hey, I gotta see the baby.
You told me, and you've said this very adamantly.
Yes.
You go to bradwilliams.com and look up all the dates.
Bradwilliamscomedy.com, yeah.
Bradwilliamscomedy.com. He's phenomenal. We'll put it in the description below, or I won't, and everybody will get mad. I do that every time. But you've said this to me before multiple times. You hate Jerry Seinfeld. Why is that? Isn't that fun to bury someone and do that? The director of Little Dickie is Jeff Schaefer. I don't know if you knew Jeff and Jackie did The League.
Brilliant.
Yeah, and Jeff also did this entire season of Curb Your Enthusiasm, which
great.
Your boy Santino is in the new episode of Curb in January. But Jeff, I do this to Jeff all the time. I love fucking with him. And in front of the entire Video Village, I'll go up to him and I'll go, I don't know. I just, like, everyone's quiet. Mm. And I'll go to Jeff. I'll go, I don't know. I don't dislike you. Because you voted for Trump, I just think it's like not. I don't know. I don't know why. I just don't know why you don't want to talk about it. And he'll get really weird and nervous and locked up. And everyone's like kind of laughing, kind of like, what is he talking about?
Right.
And I go, I don't care. I still like you as a director. I think I'm friends with you. Like, it's your choice to vote for Trump.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know how. There is no way to get out of that without sounding defensive.
Right.
Which sounds even more guilty.
Right.
Or if he plays into the bit. It could get bad for him.
Right.
It's a lose-lose.
Yeah, because...
So watch what I just did to you, right? Like, you've told me so many times that you hate Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh, yeah.
See?
Oh, yeah, totally. Because
you think he's a dog shit comic. He's not funny. He's not a well-written
not
comic,
funny.
And he thinks he is.
He thinks he is. He kicks midgets in his spare time. People think...
Good turn.
People think he has Porsches...
Good turn.
...in those garages.
Yeah.
Midgets.
All midgets?
In cages. He picks out his favorite one to kick every morning.
He also has a garage filled with midgets and gauges. So that's a good turn. If you go, if you go there, but even still, someone on the internet or someone around can go, I bet you Brad does hate.
Yeah.
When someone puts something on you like that, there's no, you loot. There's no way
I
to get out of it.
You have to go, like, steer into it.
Deep.
Go hard.
Deep.
So, like, when you go to your buddy and go, like, I can't believe Trump, and and if you want to vote for him, that's fine.
It's like, man, yeah, you love him, huh?
He has to fully dig in.
He has to go, in fact, I helped build the wall myself.
Yes, I'm going there. In fact, I hired, ironically, a bunch of Mexicans to to link arms where there is no wall.
Oh,
and
wow.
And they act as the wall.
And they protect the border.
They protect it.
I guess they'll do anything
for money.
There you go.
There you go.
See, everything. Now we're going to be misconstrued.
Steer in.
This is going to be a New York Post article on Twitter next week.
It's funny you bring up Seinfeld. I was... in addition to the fact that I hate him, obviously.
You've always said you hate Seinfeld.
I was at the Miami Improv, and I'm about 45 minutes into my set. I'm about to close out, and the manager runs up, hands me a note.
No way.
And I open up the note. It goes, and it says, Seinfeld here wants to go on.
Damn.
And I'm like, okay.
By the way, that's so many words. He could have written that in good English. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like that Seinfeld go on. Like,
yeah.
It was Seinfeld is here. He's thinking about going on. Could bring him up. Like, they're just missing one word.
Yeah. Seinfeld here wants to go on. Yeah. So
I should have said Seinfeld bring up next.
Yeah. Bring up
Seinfeld.
So I go, okay.
Yeah.
And
Miami?
Miami.
Right.
And I go, all right. And I had one more bit to do, so I did an abbreviated version of it. Stop. And
you didn't want to show off? You didn't want to show off in front of Seinfeld?
I didn't think
I would have shown. I would have gone over and I would have crushed on purpose.
I didn't think he'd actually be watching. Because I think he'd be like.
No, he'd be watching. If he's a drop into your show?
Yeah.
Of course he's fucking watching.
There's a nice green room back there. Well, like,
I think he's going to come in
and go
on after this guy's weekend spot and go sit in the green room? I bet you he watched you.
Mm.
Well, I mean, if he, not for the whole set, but I'm sure he watched from when he was ready to go on.
Yeah.
The last 10 minutes.
Yeah. I did about probably like 7 minutes after, five to seven.
Okay.
So still a bit, you know.
You do your shit.
And it was a good closer. Yeah. So I like that part. And then I go, hey, ladies and gentlemen, we're in Miami, Florida. Anything can happen in Miami, Florida. Please welcome to the stage, Mr. Jerry Seinfeld. Now, I'm saying this not knowing if this is a prank.
Ah, that's funny.
And it's Miami. That's so it's like, why would he, you know, like, it's not New York. It's not like a LA.
Yeah, but
it's not
Florida,
Vegas. It's
Jewish.
Like, So I go, he better be here. So like, I go, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Jerry Seinfeld. And the audience kind of goes, what? Like,
yeah, they don't get it either because it's your show.
Yeah, and they're like, I don't. And then Jerry walks on.
Wow, and they lose
their
shit.
Batshit insane. Wow. He does like 20 minutes. And then when he was done, he went back to the green room. Here's the fun part that I always like to mention. This was.
You can talk shit if you're ready to talk shit.
Either my Thursday night show or my Sunday night show. It was about 3/4 full. And then, but by the time Jerry's set was done, it was sold out.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And you're like, how did that?
Was he cool to you afterwards?
Yeah. He came off stage. He, because comics had formed back in the green
room.
Yeah,
everyone sent a text.
Yeah, everyone sent a text. Get over here now. You know, so there was a bunch of comics back there. And he took photos with all the comics that wanted photos, and then he talked to me, and he talked to my opener for a little bit.
Who's your opener?
Eric Myers that weekend, who is a crusher.
Do you take him all the time?
Not all the time, but when I can.
Yeah.
I have like a stable of like four that kind of rotate. And
you did this. Do you not know how many people four is?
That's four, right?
Okay.
Right?
This is five.
What?
Are you?
No,
oh, you're the thumb.
I'm going in.
You're the thumb and there's.
I'm going in the midget numerical system. So
is
like
it different than ours?
My fingers are less value than yours. So it takes me five fingers to match your four.
Oh, so your fingers are each worth 1.2?
Or less, like 0.6.
Huh.
So, yeah, that's how the number system works. So I just do five fingers, and that makes four. See, sometimes I forget that I'm talking to non-dwarves. So you guys don't know the code. Sucks. So
I don't know the code. Just send me the fucking PDF so I can study it before you come
over.
No
problem. So, but yeah, I have like four openers. Your four. That felt like Inglourious Bastards.
It did?
That scene where he's like, we'll have three scotches.
Yeah, three
scotches.
It's
like, you did that. You should have said that.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
But he came back and he was cool to you?
Yeah, he was great. He was great, and his material was funny. He was there on vacation and just wanted to do time.
Oh, miserable. I would never. People say that all the time. They're always like, you're gonna do stand-up while you're wherever. I'm always like, no. Is that the fucking reason for me to leave? Is to acquire some of the things I need to get excited about stand-up when I get back. Like, I don't want to be in fucking Italy with my family and then be like, you know, I'm going to pop in
to the
Palazzo Comedy Club.
I
don't want to do that shit. Like, that. No, fuck that. No way.
Well,
take a fucking
if you
break,
are
take
ever in Italy and you want to do some time.
You got a gig in Rome or something?
April Macy and her husband own a bar.
I know. April Macy might as well be. She might as well be Carmen Sandiego. She's got the red hair. She looks like Carmen. People don't know what Carmen, so there's going to be part of my audience is like, who the fuck is Carmen Sandiego?
Google it.
Google Carmen Sandiego. There was a show.
It was a geography.
Where in the world is
kids.
Carmen Sandiego? And it was brilliant too because I found out how little I knew about geography.
Yeah,
I watched it. I was like, holy shit!
Do you remember there were kids shows that were like smart?
That were smart, way smarter than fucking me.
Watch Animaniacs again, and you're like, oh my God.
Pinky and the Brain.
Yeah. These are like smart shows.
Well, dude, I think a lot of kids' humor tends to still be pretty smart. We just don't. When you're young, you see the goofiness of it, and then you get older and you see the subversive meta adult jokes. The Simpsons is riddled. It is an adult show,
right?
Even though kids loved it,
yeah.
Like some of the best comedy when I was a kid was not realized until I became an adult because Eat My Shorts was funny when you were a kid,
right?
Right. So like Eat My Short,
him.
Whatever Bart's catchphrase was, and you know,
the fucking prank calls to Mo,
So it's like those were so funny for kids. But
I need a man to hug and kiss.
Is a man to hug and kiss here? Right,
guys, you know, all my life I've been looking for a man to hug and kiss.
God, it's so good.
So good.
Some of those bits were just so funny as kids because you thought it was goofy, but then you see the other stuff and you're like, oh shit, this was really for adults. It just happened to be good for kids too because cartoons, bright colors, you know, like it just worked.
Yeah, like a friend of mine memorized the Countries of the World song from Animaniacs.
It was Animaniacs, right?
So he knows, he could name you all the countries of the world. He starts doing
it. That's crazy.
And it's not in alphabetical order. So
it's all over the place.
So it sounds
like... it has
like
some rhyme scheme to it, right?
Yeah, like United States, Canada, Mexico, Panama, Haiti, Jamaica, Peru.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's the only part I know.
Right.
But yeah, like they would do shit like that.
I couldn't name more than 20 countries. And there's how many? There's
a lot.
70, maybe? More, 80?
Something like that.
See how dumb we are?
Yeah, don't even know how many.
We're dumb guys.
I know the capital of Djibouti is Djibouti. I know that one.
Should we close on that?
Should we close on Djibouti?
The capital of Djibouti is Djibouti. That's the lesson today. That's the name of this episode is Djibouti, baby. Go to bradwilliamscomedy.com.
Yeah. I have one more really cool thing to plug.
Oh, plug it, baby.
Because I am on the About Last Night podcast with my podcast partner,
Adam
Ray.
We didn't talk
about
this. I'm so annoyed. We talked about it before.
Heterosexual life mate.
Yeah.
Give
or take.
He's a good hetero life.
The About Last Night podcast is a great podcast with Adam Ray and Brad Williams, two buddies of mine. And Brad is
leaving the podcast at episode 500 to be a father, to have more time.
Yeah.
But even though I'm leaving, because this is one thing, like you leave, like when bands break up, it's always like, oh, they hate each other, or like they're not getting along.
And you guys are the
same. So to prove that we are definitely hating each other. we are doing a cruise together.
Shut up.
Yeah.
What do you mean? What kind of cruise?
We're doing a cruise where we're doing stand up and we're bringing the goddamn Comedy Jam band on. And
what cruise is this? Is it like a?
It's going from Long Beach
a
to Mexico.
Carnival cruise or some shit?
Yeah. Let's not say carnival because who
did this?
There's a guy. His name is Parker. He does stuff with the Adam Carolla cruise.
It's travelbyparker.com. Travelbyparker.com. He does all these cruises. You guys are going to do a cruise. You guys, Josh Adam Myers and the goddamn Comedy Jam crew.
Yeah.
And who else?
That.
So it's you two, you guys together.
Yeah, we're going from Long Beach to Mexico, and we're doing it Halloween weekend of 2020. It's like it's
a year from now.
Yeah,
a month and a year. But
tickets are on sale, so you have plenty of time. I think it's Adam and Brad's Halloween Spooktacular at Sea. So we're going to have costume contests.
Just go to his website.
Yeah.
Go to bradwilliamscomedy.com and you can see exactly all the details that are going on this cruise.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go. But I think people will have fun.
We could pay you.
I don't do boats. I don't do boats.
You don't do boats?
I do boats for leisure, not for a long time.
Like
I'll go out on a boat.
You'll
to
go
Catalina.
Out around the lake.
I'll go water ski.
Yeah,
I'll go wakeboard.
Okay,
I don't want to live on. I don't want to sleep on
a
boat.
Live in a boat.
I don't want to sleep on a boat.
You've never done a cruise.
Never done a cruise.
Mm.
We'll never do. Andrew Santino will never do a cruise. Fact.
I'll
take a boat to an island.
Yeah, I thought cruises were bad until I did the Chris Jericho Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea.
Yeah, that was fun, huh?
That was fucking great.
It's not that it's bad. It's just not for old Red. It's not for the Red Rocket. Red Rocket does not want to be on the boat. I don't want to sleep on a fucking boat. I don't want to wake up with it. I just think I don't want to... There you go. That's my don't want to die. I don't want to wake up with a boat drowning.
Oh, okay.
A boat is sinking.
It's like you hear the siren or whatever.
Yeah, that's like to me, that's like,
fuck.
What? I could have prevented this. I could have stayed ashore.
I could just not been on this boat.
Yes. Yes. That to me is like, you know, the risk is not worth the reward for the Red Rocket. No. You know what? I can't say never,
mm-hmm.
but indefinitely. For now, I'm not going to go.
Until I do, I won't.
Until I do, I won't. I'm not gonna fucking do it. But I do think the fans should go because more people are don't give a shit.
Yeah.
And I think you should go. Go see Brad and Adam and the Goddamn Comedy Jam and Josh Adam Myers, who also has a great podcast called The 500.
Oh,
all
great.
These guys are great performers. They're incredible. Brad's leaving Adam, truthfully, not just because of his kid, but because he hates Adam Ray. You do. You hate Seinfeld and Adam Ray.
You know what?
You say Seinfeld is the Adam Ray of the older generation.
Yeah.
That's what you say.
I say it all the time.
Same guys.
It's on a t-shirt that you can get at my website.
BradWilliamsComedy.com.
Go there. You'll see all kinds of hateful
t-shirts. You'll see it all. You'll see it all.
Anti-Semitic stuff. It's great.
Go check it out. We're happy to have Brad. Brad's going to be a dad. Say congratulations to Brad on his Twitter, his Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Wish him good luck raising a daughter because you know she's going to be a stripper. You know she's going to be a stripper.
It's the Chris Rock bit. That's my only job.
She's going to be... Yeah, no, you
keep
will
her
not
off
fail.
The pole.
You will not fail.
Mm-hmm.
And if I do see her at that little airport, that little strip club next to the airport, Van Nuys, I'll tip her well. How about that? If I do see
Thank
her
you.
In 20 years, I'll tip her
you
well.
Know, just that's all I ask.
That's what you need.
Just tip her well.
I'll give her a
Take
C-note.
Care
send
of her.
Her on her way.
Hey, I've told her. I haven't told her. She's not born yet. But
you talked to the tummy.
I will tell her, like, whatever you do in life, just do it full. Do it to the best of your ability. So if you are a stripper, you better be the best goddamn stripper.
Yep. Full nude. Don't go to those ones where it's just boobies. You better be full nude.
Bikini bar, tassels.
Come on, lady.
Pansy.
Take it off.
Go full.
Dad, go home. Take it off. You know my dates. I'm on the road in November. Go to AndrewSantino.com for all the fun stuff. Cheeto Santino. Get me unshadow banned, dude. Fight the good fight. Spread the word about Cheeto Santino on Instagram.
Agreed.
So people know what's up. Because I can get Instagram from stop putting me in handcuffs. Thank you, Brad. I love you.
Love you too, buddy.
Give me one out. Go say one phrase as I get up to turn off the camera. Go ahead.
Hamster nipples.
In here, we pour whiskey, 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 whiskey.
You were that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy and ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey, $75 for the horse.
Gingers, oh hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.